When I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace, on Mount Calvary take my place. Then I ask myself this question, who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? He came to me, he came to me, when I could not come to where he was, he came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven. He gave his lifeblood for even me. His hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven. He gave his lifeblood for even me.
Glory to God. Boy, I'm telling you, there's nothing like singing about Jesus, is there? And what a Savior. You know, we can sing about it here, but do you realize, my dear friend, if you're a born-again believer this morning, that one day it's going to come to fruition. And you know, our words of, oh, what a Savior here, is not going to mean near as much as when we see Him face to face. And we're going to say, you know what? I'm telling you, there's not a sermon preached. There's not a song written that can describe the glory of God and the beauty of Him until we see Him. Now, I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to that day. And God bless you for being here this morning. Would you take your Bible with me, if you would? Turn to Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to read you a passage of Scripture this morning. As once you find your place, if you'll stand with me, we're going to read the first 14 verses of Genesis 22, a very familiar passage of Scripture if you're a Bible student. And it's one of the passages of Scripture that I get moved by emotionally every time I read this particular passage of Scripture. Genesis chapter 22, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, or He tried, or He tested Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he, Abraham, said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And by the way, did you notice there, Isaac didn't say, Where? What? Good. Explain. He said, God will provide. That's all you need to know. God will provide himself a lamb. And they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar, and there laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket, and his horns, or by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now I want you to listen. By this time, Abraham is so full. Abraham is so incredibly amazed at the power and the promise of God. He says in verse 14, And Abraham called the name of that place. And here's the title of the message today, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Not only does God see, but God provides. And as he said to this, as he said this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. And I want to take that statement that Abraham made after being so full, after being so incredibly amazed at God's love and care for him. He said, I don't have anything else to say but Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. God sees and God will provide. Father, thank you for your goodness and grace today. We do ask that you'd meet with us in this auditorium. Speak to hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And you can be seated. You know, so oftentimes we hear, and matter of fact, we tell others that God sees our heart and God knows our needs. We've all said that 1,000 times, haven't we? Oh, don't worry. God knows. God sees. And you know what the truth of the matter is? You are telling the truth that God does know and God does see. You see, sometimes we may even extend our kindness and love and say something like, everything will be fine. God will provide. And we'll say things like that to people. May I say right here that there's no question that God wants to provide. You know what? He wants to provide His goodness, His love, His kindness, His gentleness, His compassion, His grace and mercy. You know what? He wants to display that, and it's dictated to us in Scripture that God really does want to take care of us and be a father unto us. He really does. And yet in Scripture we see multiple times, we don't have time to go through each and every one of them, but I want to give you some examples just quickly this morning, if I could, how that God provided. Can I say when God created Adam and Eve, He provided them a perfect environment to live in. And by the way, it'd still be perfect today if they hadn't disobeyed God. And you'll find out that God seems to move in such miraculous ways in our lives when we become obedient. When we follow Him and love Him and be obedient to Him, God provided a perfect environment. Hey, there the presence of God existed.
There was no labor. There was freedom. It was sin free.
And then on top of that, God gave Adam and Eve to each other. It was a perfect environment. He provided that for them.
May I have you in your mind to speed forward just a little bit to Genesis 6? When God had proclaimed that he would destroy the earth with water. And yet in the midst of God's plan to destroy the earth with water, he called out a man by the name of Noah and gave him a command to build an ark. And God, even though he knew that millions and millions would not turn to him, he still provided an ark. He still provided an open door for them to come into, even though he knew they wouldn't come. And I'm here to tell you today that God has opened up salvation to the entire world because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The door is wide open today. Is everybody going to come through, preacher? No, but he wants them to. He wants them to. You see, he provided an ark during that time for people to come in. But we know many didn't. We know in this situation in Genesis 22 that God provided himself a lamb in Isaac's place. God also provided, as we know, as Israel went into captivity, that God rose up a man by the name of Moses and provided a deliverer for them. And Moses delivered Israel out of Egyptian bondage. We know that as they were delivered from Egyptian bondage, we know that God provided water out of a rock. We know that God provided manna from heaven. We also know that God provided them an inheritance, a land. The Bible says it was flowing with milk and honey. You know who provided all this? God provided all of this. He's the one that provided for them. Now let me ask you this. Did Israel always obey? No, they didn't. Did Israel always express their love effectually toward God? No, they didn't. But you know what? Can I tell you today that even though they didn't always obey, even though they didn't always do what God wanted them to do, he still loved them, he still cared for them, and may I say, in the end, he provided for them. Now, all I'm saying to you this morning is we have a God in heaven that will provide. You see, today he provides his presence and his protection, which may probably be one of his greatest provisions. You see, we don't realize that from day to day what God protects us from. You have no idea that on the way to church this morning, maybe God delayed a car just a matter of seconds so that you could get through an intersection. Maybe God delayed something so that you could make it to church. Why? Because God provides protection for the child of God. Now, I'm here to tell you today, this morning, that Abraham was so excited for what he had seen with his eyes, what God had done. He said, Jehovah Jireh, glory to God. God saw and God provided. You see, we do serve a great God. You know, in Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible says that we find in verse number 5 that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And yet we scoot down to verse number 8 and it says that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hey, are you with me this morning to agree that God provided for Abraham, that he'd provide for you? If God provided a lamb, if he provided and spared his own son, would he provide for you today? Now, the thing about it is, if we're going to see God do something miraculous like he did for Abraham, we need to go find out what Abraham did. We need to go find out what Abraham and the process that Abraham went through to see this incredible provision, so that when he stood back and he looked at the whole thing, he said, glory to God, Jehovah Jireh, God has seen and God has provided. You see, he is a God of provision and does want to provide for us on a regular basis. Now, what led to God providing for Abraham in this particular situation? I want you to go back to your Bible, if you would, this morning. I'm going to give you 5 words here that I want you to write down that I find in Genesis 22 that's right there in the text, right there in the scripture, of what Abraham did that brought about this incredible, this miraculous provision in his life that he could get to the end and say, glory to God. God has seen and God has provided. Now I want you to notice, first of all, you'll find the first one in
chapter 22, verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Abraham said, Behold, here I am. All right, now the first thing that I see in Scripture here that I think led to God's provision in such a miraculous way is Abraham listened. Let me back up. That didn't go over very well. I said Abraham listened. You know, Jesus said many times he would teach and they had ears, but they hear not. You see, a lot of times when we come to church, we only hear the part of the message we want to hear. We only hear what we want to hear. We only practice what we want to practice. Abraham, God said, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. He listened to the voice of God. Hey, he didn't question. He didn't argue. He didn't doubt. Hey, he didn't make any excuses. Oh, Lord, time out. I'm busy. Don't you see? I've got things to do here. Is there something? Can you come back, say, next Wednesday about 11 o'clock? You see, the thing about it is, he made no excuses. He didn't argue. He didn't doubt. He just simply listened to what God said and said, Lord, here am I. May I ask you to take your Bible, keep your place there in Genesis 22, if you would. Turn, if you would, with me to Matthew chapter 7. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 for just a moment. Matthew 7 and verse 24. Jesus' teaching here in his Sermon on the Mount is getting toward the end. And here's what he says in verse 24 of Matthew 7. Therefore, whosoever, does your Bible say heareth? Yeah, it says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. And, does your Bible say doeth? Hey, we're not to be hearers only, but doers of the word. So he says, he that heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. Now, we realize what the teaching here is. He says, now, gentlemen, you've heard all the things that I've taught you. He says, now I expect you to follow through with them. And he says, if you do, he said, it don't matter what comes. Doesn't matter if the winds blow, the creek rises. Doesn't matter if the winds beat upon it, the rains come. It will not fall because it's built on a rock. Wait a minute, he's not done with the story yet. He says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now I want you to turn back to Genesis 22. I'm just simply telling you that God, Abraham experienced an incredible provision from God because he listened. You see, listening will put you right in the middle of God's will. Listen, people come all the time and say, Preacher, I cannot discern God's will for my life. Well, let me just give you one bit of counsel. Listen. Listen. If you're a child of God and the Holy Ghost of God lives in you, he will communicate to you. He's not trying to play hide and seek. Okay, he's not trying to play hide and seek with his will. He wants you to be in his will. The problem is, he's speaking, but we're not listening. We're not listening. And yet Abraham listened to God. And may I say to you this morning that if you'll listen, it'll put you smack in the middle of God's will for your life. Hey, listen, you can go to Acts chapter 9. We're not going to go there, but there was a man there by the name of Saul of Tarsus. He was on his way to Damascus. You know what he's on his way to Damascus for? He had papers in his hand to arrest believers. Somewhere in between on that trip, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And you know what he said? The Lord spoke to him and said, Why kickest thou against the pricks? Lord, when he called out, all Saul of Tarsus could do, all he could do was answer him, What wilt thou have me to do? Let me tell you something. When God gets a hold of you, when God gets you in right in his focus and right in his crosshairs, let me tell you something. When he speaks, we need to listen. If you'll listen, you'll be right in the middle of God's will. May I say to you, secondly, that listening will save your life. You know, listening can save your life. Matter of fact, let me prove my point here. Do you know in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now, the last time I checked, most of us in here, when there's a knock on the door, we can hear the knock, right? He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He said, "If any man open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." You see, there's a big if there. He says, "I'm knocking, but not many people are listening. And I'm here today to tell you that there's a God in heaven that's knocking on the door of your soul, and what he's asking you to do is come this morning and be born into the family of God." Listening can save your life. Save your life this morning. Save your soul. Listening will bring joy rather than hurt. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You can't find anybody in the Bible probably that hurt more than David hurt. But may I say that one of the reasons that David experienced a lot of hurt in his life is because he didn't listen. Amen, preacher. You know what? That's the reason that most of us experience a lot of hurt in our life, because we don't listen. We don't listen to counsel. And may I say as kindly as I know how that the reason that many of us are in the situations that we're in today, right now, is because we haven't listened. We haven't listened. You know why people are in hell today? Because they won't listen. They didn't listen. Somebody came to them with the gospel and they just shrugged them off. They came to him again. God's not willing that they perish, but that they come to repentance. And he kept sending a witness, and he kept sending a witness, and he kept sending a witness. But they wouldn't listen. You know why the rich man of Luke chapter 16, you know why he's still in hell? Because he wouldn't listen. And you know why in this room today, if somebody dies and goes to hell after the message that you've heard this morning, the only reason you're going to go is not just because of your sin, because you will not listen. You got to listen. God said, "Abraham," he says, "Behold, here I am." He listened. He discerned. He listened to the voice of God. You know what our problem is? We don't listen. We need to listen. That's the reason we need to open our ears. That's the reason before we get to church on Sunday morning, we need to say, "Holy Ghost of God, would you clean all the wax out of my ears? Would you take a spiritual Q-tip and put it in my ear and open my ears up this morning so I can hear that still, small voice of God?" I'm telling you, sometimes when the preaching gets tough, when the preaching gets strong, what we do, we don't put our hands up to our ears, but you know what we do? "Oh, preacher, that's too tough for me." Click. Turn it off. I don't want to hear that. Folks, let me tell you something. We've got to know, not only know, but the preacher's got to preach the whole counsel of God. We're not going to stick our head in the sand. Right's right, wrong's wrong. It's just the way it is. Now, I'm just saying to you that Abraham listened. Look at the second thing you'll find in verse number 2. Verse number 2. "And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac." Now, I want you to notice this. He said, "whom thou lovest." Not only did Abraham listen, but may I say to you that Abraham loved. You know, if we're going to be Christ-like, we're going to have to love the unlovable. We're going to have to love people that may not love us. You see, we feel comfortable only loving those who love us. We feel more comfortable only caring for those who care about us, or loving those only in our inner circle, or only in the area of our contact. Now, what display of sincere Christian character is that if all we do is love those who love us? And yet Jesus commanded us that we're not only supposed to love our enemies, but pray for them. It's supposed to not only love them, but we're supposed to be active in praying for them. Hey, I have a sneaky suspicion here, according to verse number 2, that Abraham actually loved Isaac. He says, "thy son whom thou lovest." He loved his family. He loved his family. You know, one of the greatest displays of love that you can do for your family? You say, "What's that, preacher?" I'm going to write it down. Make sure they're born again. Yeah, make sure that they've come to a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. That's the greatest
gift that you can give your family members. That's the reason, mamas and daddies, that's the reason that you need to make sure that you make sure that your kids, that they're saved, that they've been born again, and that they've been born again the Bible way. And not just do it because you want them to do it. Hey, he loved his son and he loved his family. May I say also to you that Abraham loved what God loved? Boy, I tell you one thing, if we just get a hold of that truth, man, that transform our life, loving what God loves. I'm here to tell you this morning, folks, look around. You know what Jesus loves? You know what God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, and God the Son loves? They love people. They love souls. They want people to be born again. You say, but preacher, do you know, I don't care what they've done. My goodness, if Jesus brought into conflict everything that we did and says, you know what, because you've done this, I'm going to have to question whether I want to save you or not. No, it's whosoever, my friend. It's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, Abraham loved God, what God loved. Was Abraham taken advantage of? Yeah. Taken advantage by his own kin. Mistreated by his own kin. But you know what? He still loved his family. He still loved the things that God loved. And he loved to obey. When God gave him the instructions, he says, thou son that thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. Look at verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him of. He loved his family. He loved what God loved, but he loved to obey. Do you think God might have shown favor to Abraham because he loved what God loved? Do you think that he showed favor to Abraham because Abraham decided, I'm just going to do God's will. I may not understand it. I may not know it. I may not be able to grab it completely, but I'm just going to do it because God told me to do it. You see, a man that Abraham was, he so loved God that he was willing to sacrifice his own son. Now, folks, I don't know about you. That's love. That's sincere love. But may I say to you that God in heaven, one day sent forth his son as well into this world because he not only loved us, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How did Abraham experience this incredible provision? How did he be able to stand back and say, Jehovah Jireh, God has seen and God has provided? It's because he listened and he loved. I want you to notice what he did in the third thing, and you'll find in verse number 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. He listened, he loved, and now guess what he's doing? He's looking. He's looking. Looking for what? Maybe looking for the hand of God. Looking for that place that God had told him to go to. You see, folks, have you ever thought about that, regardless of the situations that face you in life, have you ever thought about looking first before we complain and gripe about our situation? Have we ever thought about looking for the hand of God in it? Looking for the positive hand of Almighty God? Hey, Abraham listened. He loved. But you know what he's doing? He's looking. He's looking. And he's looking for the hand of God, looking for that place that God had directed him. You see, we need to look for God's direction in our life. Yeah, we need to look for God's direction in our life. Say, how can I find out that, preacher? Have you ever thought about asking him what he would have you to do? We're going to need to look for the direction. You say, but, preacher, I just don't know. I can't discern these doors that are opening. I don't know if they're of God or if they're of the devil. Well, I give you a quick way to find out. If it's a door opened to allow you or try to draw you to compromise anything or try to do something in your life that you know is contrary to Scripture, that's doors of the devil. If God is opening a door of effectual unto you to be in your life what He wants you to be and develop you into something He wants you to be, that door is of God.
So you just have to step back, look at the door. Bad door, good door. Which one's of God? Don't think God's in the bad door, so He must be in the good door. And that's the direction that you follow.
You see, I'm here to tell you, Abraham looked. He was looking for God's direction in his life.
Hey, we need to look for ways to minister to people.
Yeah,
we need to look for ways to minister to people, to be a witness. You know, I wonder how many of us today in this auditorium can profess to be a born-again believer. And I wonder how many in this auditorium today even said one good word for Jesus this week to anybody.
So, preacher, that's convicting.
Let me tell you why we didn't. Because we weren't looking to.
We weren't looking for souls. We weren't looking for people. We weren't necessarily concerned about heaven or hell for people. You know what most of us was concerned about? We were concerned about our schedule, about our time, and that we're really busy.
So you know what we tell people to do? Run along. Run along. I'm really busy. I'm busy.
We're not looking. How did Abraham reach this place to where God had a divine provision in his life and spared his only son? Why? Because he looked for ways to minister to people.
May I say to you, we need to look for His coming.
I wonder how many today woke up and went over to the window and looked toward the eastern sky and said,
not yet. Not yet. But you know, that's how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live expecting the coming of Christ.
We're supposed to be looking for His coming. You see, Abraham not only listened, not only loved, he was looking.
You know what we do, church? We keep our head down too much.
You know, I remember playing football years ago, and one of the things that my coach would tell me, he said, listen, you can't keep your head down. You keep your head down, you get annihilated. He said, so you got to keep your head up. You've got to be able to see what's going on.
How many times have you ever seen guys, you cut on, watch a college game or professional game, and they go in to tackle with their head down, and you know what they tackle? Air.
And people are thinking, we're paying this guy millions to do this?
But you know what his problem was? His problem is he went in with his head down.
Couldn't see. And what I'm saying is too many of us, we're living our Christian life with our head down. Hey, my friend, if you're this morning and you're born again, you have a reason to have your head up and looking up.
Hey, Abraham listened. Abraham loved. Abraham looked. Look, if you would, now in verse number 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand, a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide.
You know what he was saying? Jehovah Jireh. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together.
Look down in verse number 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now this next thing I want to mention real quick, and that's this. Not only did Abraham listen, not only did Abraham love, not only did he look, but may I say to you, Abraham was loyal.
Abraham was loyal. Hey, he may not have understood everything. He may not have understood God's purpose in it, but he was loyal, he was faithful, and he obeyed. He just followed what God told him to do.
By the way, you know what else that he had behind him and on his side?
He had a promise from God. And that's the reason he could go by faith. That's the reason he could go confidently and go up there and said, son, don't worry about it. God's already promised that you are the chosen seed. And I know it doesn't matter what happens on Moriah. Even if I have to slay you, I believe God will raise you from the dead.
You know why? Because you're the man, Isaac. You're the one. That's the reason he could go up on that mountain with confidence. That's the reason he could go up there with loyalty and faithfulness.
You see, he had a promise from God about Isaac.
He knew that God had done him nothing but good.
And even if God allowed him to sacrifice his son,
you know what? God was still good.
and had done nothing but good to Abraham. You see, he knew that God loved him and that he loved God. May I ask you today, where is the character trait of loyalty gone today? Where is it? Why is it that we have adopted the philosophy that we can't be loyal to anyone or anything unless they do something for us? Can I say something to you? Because I'm a born-again believer this morning, thank God that Jesus Christ's salvation is kept in His grip, is kept in His hand. It's not based upon me. It's based upon His finished work. Abraham listened. Abraham loved. Abraham looked. Abraham was loyal to God. Let me give you one more. Look down in verse number 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Not only did Abraham listen, not only did he love, not only did he look, not only was he loyal, but my friend, he learned. He learned. So what did he learn, preacher? Well, he learned that God will honor His word. Yeah. You say, what word will He honor? Well, if you're here this morning without Christ, He'll honor this word here. He'll honor this statement. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what Abraham learned? He learned, you know what? God will keep His word. Hey, you don't think that he, when he came down off of Moriah after that experience, you don't think that he was fired up for Jesus? You talking about somebody was pumped up? He was pumped up. Why? He learned something on Mount Moriah. He learned something there. He learned that God will honor His word. Can I say to you next that he learned that God can be trusted? Hey, God can be trusted. I wonder when he raised that knife up, I thought, well, Lord, here it goes. But I believe in God. I trust God. Lord, you've done nothing but good to me now. If you take my son's life right now, then so be it. And I think he was just about ready to roll. And God said, that's all I need to see. You see, Abraham learned God will keep His word. Number two, Abraham learned God can be trusted. And may I say to you, number three, God will provide if we will let Him guide. He will provide if we'll let Him guide us. You see, what do we need to learn today? Are we listening? Are we loving? Are we looking? Are we loyal? Are we learning from our mistakes and our foolish decisions? You see, we learn that God is willing to save anyone at any time in any place. So you know what? You want to leave out of here today and go home and just have a spell and say, Jehovah Jireh, God has seen and God will provide. Then let me give you something here. Then you know what? You better listen. You better love what God loves. You know what we better? We better be looking at the things that God's looking at. He's looking for souls. He's looking to save people. He's looking to come back. We need to be looking at all of these things. We need to be loyal. We need to be loyal to the Lord. Stand up for Jesus. You may have to stand up on your job. You may have to stand up in your family, wherever it is. You know what? We got to be loyal. Loyal. And then Abraham learned. You want a Jehovah Jireh experience? There's the criteria right there. You see, folks who do not want to abide by that criteria, and they kind of use God as kind of an escape hatch and, you know, only in emergency situations. And when God doesn't come through like they think He comes through, they get mad at Him. And the thing about it is, they haven't even met any of the criteria for a Jehovah Jireh experience. Last verse, Psalm 55:22, here's what the Lord says. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many this morning can say, preacher, beyond a shadow of a doubt, no question about it, I've been born into the family of God.